Folks, welcome back. I'm Matt Canovi, sitting in for Nick Reed. I'm being joined by, I'm glad to say, good friend and pastor of the Freeway Ministry here in Springfield, Missouri. And a matter of fact, it's international. And his name is John Stroop. John, thanks so much for joining us this morning. And am I overemphasizing the drug problem here in the Midwest when I say it is an epidemic?
No, I like to use the phrase a domestic terrorism.
Yeah, because it is destroying the fiber of this country. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, and so we deal with things you wouldn't imagine every week. And the colder it gets outside, the crazier it gets in our buildings when we have our outreaches, because people come from, you know, they're living in the woods on drugs and sleeping on the streets. And when they have to come to stay warm, you know, you just never know what you're going to get. So,
well, I know we've been talking about the heroin, methamphetamine, marijuana, the fentanyl that's coming into the area. And you said now there's something new that they've worked out.
It's called meth 2.0, and it's got fentanyl in it. And so my friend's a bounty hunter, and he's a believer. He's a fellow Christian, and I always call him every once in a while, and I'll say, "You're chasing bad guys, you know," and he'll tell me stories. And he said that now they're using the meth 2.0 because it's quote unquote the ultimate high, and they'll do it together, and they'll have Narcan. And so if one dies, the other one can bring them back.
To me, that's incredible. I mean, we're saying, okay, this dope is going to be so good, but if I die, go ahead and, you know, I'm like, why would you risk that? I mean, but it's once this drug takes you over, or you let it take you over, it really does control you and makes you do the stupidest things. I heard you on Nick Reed's show. You were talking about your book about how the Americans are really enablers of these people to be on drugs. And you were talking, saying that the people that go to your Freeway Ministry, they have a list, and you keep them busy all the time. Those who are in the houses, go ahead and get off drugs, get their life back. And there's a list. And you said, I guarantee that if a drug dealer said, I'm not going to give you no dope unless you complete this entire list, they'd do everything on that list.
They'll mow your grass with a flashlight on their forehead at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you want them to do, they'll do for that dope. And they've got to have that same focus to get off the dope. I mean, it's incredible. Do we need to throw it over? I'm sorry for jumping right into that, but got kind of caught up in a moment. I do need to let you folks know that I've got Don Luzader in the studio for the news.
All right, thank you. Good morning. A pedestrian is in critical condition after being hit by a car at Chestnut Expressway in Sherman and Springfield. Police say the driver is cooperating with the investigation. Officers have not released the name of the man who was hit around 9 o'clock Wednesday night. A new report on the duck boat tragedy on Table Rock Lake in Branson says the Coast Guard ignored repeated safety recommendations that could have prevented the deaths of 17 people last year. The NTSB says it's urged the Coast Guard to make sure people can get out of the boats safely, since a similar duck boat incident in Arkansas in 1999 killed 13 people. The Coast Guard says it plans to take a new look at the recommendations. And a former police chief from Greenwood up near Kansas City has been indicted on charges of violating a man's civil rights after he rescued that same man's daughter from a pond. Former Chief Greg Hogrimson's lawyer says he pleads not guilty to punching the victim, known in the indictment as Jay-Z. The date of the incident matches previous allegations by Jonathan Ziccarelli, after Ziccarelli attempted to drown his six-month-old daughter in a pond and Hogrimson had saved her. And that is the latest news.
Today's KTTS First Alert forecast. Today, we have a cloudy start, then gradually clearing with a high at 43. Tonight, clear, low around 20. Friday, sunny, high of 50. And this weekend, we got sunny at high of 53. Back to you, Matt.
Thanks so much. I've got John Stroop sitting here next to me, and we've been talking about the new meth 2.0 that's coming in, and not only is this on the streets, but you've even got an article where in documents, and I believe it says that the sheriff or not is even mentioning the fact that the cartels are bringing this stuff in. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, it's I found it on KY3. I think it was KY3, October 23rd, and they had 40 overdoses. the EMTs called for almost a state of emergency in Springfield. And they had an overdose summit at a local church, and there was community leaders came to talk, and they asked me to come, and we all pitched in on what we thought, you know, was going on. But somehow I thought, in my thinking, that the fentanyl had somehow got into the meth when the Mexican cartel had made it, or whoever had made this batch. And, you know, they're not chemists. They're not scientists. And so, but now as I've studied and looked through it, it's not just here. It's all over. And so people are over, you know, the meth addiction, because of the opioid attention, the meth has just snuck in and climbed. And so three of the people who overdosed were in custody of Greene County Jail when they did. And the jailers have saved their lives with Narcan. And so not only did the jailers save, it says in the article that the jailers have saved the same person more than once with it.
I shouldn't laugh. I shouldn't laugh. It just is so amazing to me that somebody, I mean, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, the drug era, the old drug era. I mean, now we're in this new drug era. And yeah, you know, I just didn't have anything to do with it. And it was just nothing that motivated me, but I was focused on other things in my life. And it's so to actually see it take people over, but it does. I mean, I've got people in my family who have just been totally destroyed and taken over. And the sad part is that you and I can't fix them. They have to fix themselves. And if they won't, and people get upset with me when I tell them, look, you're just supporting their habit. Until they hit rock bottom, they're not going to change.
Yeah, I always tell families, invest something they can't trade for drugs. And that's instructions. That's the only thing you can give them. And you know, you can't go get heroin with instructions. But it's a lot harder for somebody to overdose on your couch with a refrigerator full of food and in a warm, nice, comfortable place, not overdose, but continue to get high and hit rock mm-hmm. bottom. If they're outside, it's cold and they're alone and they're hungry and they're vulnerable, but that's where brokenness happens. And so they need to be outside, alone, hungry, and vulnerable if they're using drugs and committing crime, because they're in your house doing it.
Yeah. Now, John, I've talked in the previous hour, we talked about the fact that I think they need to first get the wall, okay, to help reduce some of it coming across, and then help work on changing the moral attitude of America. And that is the really big problem. But I want you to go ahead, think about it. I'm going to pick it up on the other side of break. Give me your opinion on whether or not the wall would have a positive or negative impact. Folks, stick around through the break. I'm Matt Canovey, sitting in for Nick Reed on 104.1 KSGF, Springfield's News Talk FM. Folks, welcome back. I'm Matt Canovey, sitting in for Nick Reed. And I've got John Stroop in the studio with me. I've also got Dee Wamper, and Dee's going to, in a few minutes, talk about some attacks on our Second Amendment. Also, this impeachment media event that's going on, with a little bit of a sidebar. The main focus of today's show is, again, the flood of illegal drugs, criminal organizations, and criminal enterprises across our southern border. John, before I went to the break, I talked to you, and I wanted to get your opinion on, and yeah, I've got to go to you, and it's sad to say this, as kind of the expert, okay, on what will and what will not help, our best help, combat the drug problem. And I see it as two problems. One, access to the dope, and then two, a moral breakdown inside our citizens that caused them to want this dope. Now, do you think the wall will help?
I think whatever we can do to stop it will help. And yeah. So, you know, for one, we have to stop the drugs from coming over here. Two, we have to give people purpose. Warehousing prisoners isn't working. And building more prisons is just going to cost us more money. And I tell my guys this. One of our graduates had said this before, and I never forgot it. The devil is also a fisherman. not just Jesus. And so we have to make disciples out of people who make disciples out of other people. Criminals are also disciples. Drug addicts are also disciples. They've been taught and trained in another way. And so when you get a hold of somebody who has a, I call it a fishbowl mentality. If I take a fish that's going to be a giant fish and I put him in a little bitty fishbowl, that's where he's going to be all his life. But we're able to take people out of that little mentality, criminal mentality, and out of that fishbowl and set them free. And then the light bulb comes on and they realize, you know, so one, yes, stop the drugs coming in. Two, figure out a different way to help people besides warehousing them in prison. So,
well, John, I know there's also a sad reality, and that is some people will never get help because you can't grab them and shake them and beat them. Some people are just never going to get the help. And I know it's harsh because people say, Matt, how can you be that cold? And I'm like, it's just the way it is. It's like accepting Christ, okay? You can't force somebody to. You know, the Lord knocks on your door, but you got to open the door and ask the Lord to come in. And if you don't, you're going to go to hell. That's just the way it is. And that's the same way it is with drugs. Am I seeing it wrong?
Well, my motivation isn't your motivation. And so when I talk to families all the time, I'll tell them, I always ask someone this question. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Imagine you're in the sea and you're drowning, Matt. And you've been out there a long time, and the wells are overtaking you, and the waves are coming, and you don't have much strength left. And a boat comes up and throws you a life raft. And then you get to the life raft gets to you, and all you got to do is get on it, and you push that life raft away, and you say, it's not my favorite color. I mean, you know, why am I saying that? It's because we can't help people their way because their way doesn't work. And so when somebody's ready to change their life, they will do whatever it takes. They will say, you tell me, invest instructions. You tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And when you do what I ask you to
show me the way, and I'll go the path.
Yeah, and when you respond in obedience to what I ask you to do, then I invest more instructions. And we just continue this pattern until you get yourself where you need to be.
Well, that's it. And folks, at least the wall would reduce the amount of drugs criminal organizations and criminal enterprises coming across the border. Anything you can do to reduce it, to me, in my mind, is a positive. We got to step into a break. We're going to pick it up with D. Wampler on the other side. I'm Matt Canovey sitting in for Nick Reed on KSGF 104.1 Springfield's News Talk FM. Folks, welcome back. I'm Matt Canovey sitting in for Nick Reed. I've got John Stroop in the studio with me. I've also got D. Wampler, and I'm going to throw it over to D. in a few minutes, but I do want to hand something off to John here for a moment, and that is we've been talking about the flood of illegal drugs coming across our southern border in the United States and destroying the moral fiber of America. But the freeway ministry that John Stroop is involved in is international, and he's going to take a moment and explain how this is really a worldwide problem.
Yeah, so we were just talking. We've been in Cape Town for 3 years now, and they call meth tick because of the sound it makes when you cook it in a meth pipe, when you smoke it, and they call it tick. And if you drive through Cape Town at night, you'll see people, I mean, sleeping on the streets, and they're strung out. They don't care about, you know, they're hurting. And my friend over there, Greg Craig, who is the director for Cape Town South Africa Freeway, and he said, he told me how it's getting there. So what happens is, this is going to be, somebody's going to say, I don't believe that, but it's true. This is true. The Chinese bring it to Fish Hook and the coast there, because it's ports everywhere. They don't bring the meth, they bring the chemicals, okay? They take it off the boat, and then they cook it on the coast somewhere. And then they take the meth that they cook, and they trade it for, I think it's called abalone, or abalone is a shellfish. That's a delicacy in China. And they trade the shellfish for the meth to the guys who are running the gangs. And then they take the shellfish back to China, and they never exchange a dollar. I mean, and it's crippling. It's crippling the nation. If you look at Russia, where the border is, and I forget exactly where it is, but I've watched several documentaries on this, to where they're bringing the heroin in to Russia, and they're crippling. Those people are so strung out and addicted that the nation is beginning to be weakened. And I believe, in my opinion, and I say this a lot, that a drug, we don't need planes into buildings. All we need is drug dealers and drug addicts in our cities. And we'll have, that's domestic terrorism. And so I've had pro golfers in our program. I've had professional people in our program. I've had rich kids that grew up. I've had a judge's son just recently, like this year, in our program. So drug addiction is affecting every family, every color, every gender, every side of town. And so, yeah. Yep.
Well, and you hit something, you hit the nail on the head about how they're bartering and they're avoiding the cash, because after 9/11, they set up the system whereby you can track the money. And there's an old saying in criminal investigations, follow the money. Well, you could track the money going from bank here to bank here to bank here, and you could track people down. But when you do the barter, there is no trail. The terrorists are using heroin to go ahead and pay their way into Mexico to come across the border. They're beginning to realize we don't need the cash because that can be tracked. We'll just barter, and it can't be tracked. I mean, so from a business standpoint, these guys are brilliant. Now, are they ruthless and horrible people? But again, think of what they're doing from a business mentality. And once you do that, you can start heading off what they're going to do, because you know the next step. Their next logical business step is this, so we can head it off. It's incredible.
Well, we teach, we have about 40 to 50 men and women that have come to our Tuesday night classes. And we're pioneering these classes and this material. And last Tuesday, we feed them. We literally have a salad bar for them. They eat and they have a good dinner, and then we teach them. And season two, there's four 13-week seasons, 1 year. And season two is overcoming the past. Last Tuesday night, I taught on the criminal mentality, and I asked them a question. I said, do you see drug dealing and child molesting as the same thing? And, you know, child molesters in prison, they don't have a very good reputation. That's offensive to a drug dealer.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing.
They even have a code. There is a code in prison.
So when you sell drugs, what are you doing? You're taking something from a child they can never get back.
Yeah.
Their parents. You're taking their parents away. You live your childhood with your mom as a drug addict. You can never get that back. The money that they're giving you is for that child. And that child's going without. Not only a place to live eventually, but mom's gone now. Mom's bringing over the dope man. So I don't know if you studied a statistic or not, but you can study child abuse in homes, trauma in homes that are in kids in homes that have drug addicts as parents, and those kids are being molested. Those kids are being abused, and who are they getting their dope? Drug dealer says, well, I've never sold drugs to a kid. I never sold drugs to a pregnant woman. It's justification and minimization.
Sure.
I've never sold drugs to, I've never let no one use a needle who never used it before. And that makes them feel like a good person. But really, it's not okay. And so,
if you're part of the problem, if you're any part of the problem, you're definitely not part of the solution. It's just the way it is. But you're right. They will self-justify. We all do it. We all self-justify. We all self-justify. It is, I even had years ago somebody once say, well, what if somebody wants to recreationally use some cocaine? But, you know, they work and they've got a steady job and they pay taxes and they don't break into somebody's house and they don't do bad. You know, that's not a bad thing. And I said, look, the money that they paid the drug dealer for that cocaine eventually on down the chain paid for the bullet for the gun that shot the guy on the corner.
Yeah.
I said, so it's all linked together. Don't think, oh, no, you know, I've self-justified. No, it's all linked together. John, I want you to stick around because I want you to talk about your book on how to help people understand the right way to get their kids off drugs and family members, and that we have to quit being enablers, and they have to understand that. And that's covered in your book, so I want you to stick around and talk about that a little bit. Right now, I want to throw it over to D. Matter of fact, my producer's giving me the hands here and telling me we've got to step into a break, so we'll do so. On the other side, we'll pick up our conversation with D. Wampler. I'm Matt Canovey. I'm Matt Canovey sitting in for Nick Reed on KSGF 104.1 Springfield's News Talk FM. Folks, welcome back. I'm Matt Canovey sitting in for Nick Reed. This morning we've got Don Luzader for the news.
Good morning. A 19-year-old woman and a 6-year-old boy have died in a crash down in McDonald County. The Highway Patrol says Nemo Omer from Knoll died when the car she was riding in turned in front of an SUV on Highway 71 in Pineville. Omer and the boy were pronounced dead at the scene, and two other people were rushed to local hospitals. The patrol is no longer listing the names of kids in its online crash reports. A new report on the duck boat tragedy in Branson says the Coast Guard ignored repeated safety recommendations that could have prevented the deaths of 17 people near Branson. The NTSB says it's urged the Coast Guard to make sure people can get out of the boat safely, since a similar duck boat incident in Arkansas back in 1999 killed 13 people. The Coast Guard says it plans to take a new look at the recommendations. And that is the latest news.
Today's KTTS First Alert forecast. Today we have a cloudy start, then gradually clearing with a high at 43. Tonight, clear, low around 20. Friday, sunny, high at 50. And for your weekend, we have sunny, high at 53. Back to you, Matt.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. And we've been talking with John Stroop from the Freeway Ministry about the drug problem flooding across our southern borders. And John was able to even enlighten us on the problem that is actually worldwide, and how China is actually involved with trafficking of drugs into South Africa. And also, John's going to talk in a moment about how it's also involved in destabilizing the moral fiber of Russia as well. So don't think it's just a problem here in America. It is a problem, but it's also worldwide. So we need to understand the problem before we can start addressing how to fix it. Dee, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I know you've got some comments also. We've got some this impeachment media event, which is really all it is. I see nothing. I'm not an attorney, but I have investigated lots of cases, and I've put cases together against lots and lots of people and won them. So I understand a little bit about how to find evidence and to use that evidence to establish the elements of the crime to get a conviction. And I don't see any evidence of any crime to establish any of the elements.
Well, there isn't anything there. And so it's just a production is all it is, just trying to keep Trump in the headlines. It's not really a search for the truth, and it's just a set production, and our nation isn't going to be any better for it. I was listening to a news story this morning that so many people are going to be traveling over the Thanksgiving holidays, and this has to come up at family gatherings, and it splits people. Because a third of the country is for Trump, a third is against him, and the other third doesn't know what to think. They're just in the middle. And, you know, in the meantime, we got people pouring across the southern border. As you said, we've got drugs coming in all over the place, illegal aliens. We've got hundreds of thousands of people here that are criminals that need to be deported. We need to be financing the justice situation to bring these people to hearings and export them and deport them back. We need to build the wall. There's so many things that we need to do to make our nation safe. And that's just being ignored right now. Everything's on hold. There isn't any business going on in Washington, D.C., except all this political context that's going on. And, you know, if they want to investigate something, Joe and Hunter Biden, they don't have immunity here. And so in the political context of what Trump was doing and saying, we need to talk about the Bidens as well.
Now, D, real quick, is Joe Biden an attorney?
Yes, I think that he is.
If he is, now how stupid to say it right on a video what he did. Yeah. I mean, and he's supposed to be the president of the United States, have his finger on the button of nuclear war?
Well, it's a shame. You know, it's an honor to be sitting here next to John Stroop. I know him, and I've attended his meetings before. I attended several of them last year, and I wasn't able to attend this year. And I've attended some of your classes there at Crossway Baptist. And you're a good man, John. You're well-meaning, and you're doing good, and you're making a difference in people's lives one person at a time. And there's so many good people in the Springfield community, and you're one of them. You probably don't have a lot of finances. You need contributions with what you're doing. And my figures that I go back to is I have watched the number of babies in the Springfield area and nationwide as well that are born to unwed teenage mothers. And I see the figure showing 90% of black babies that are born to unwed teenage mothers and 40% of white babies. The traditional scriptural American family that made this nation great is going downhill. And it's going downhill for a number of reasons, but I blame the fathers. And I can do that because I'm a man and a father and a grandfather. And the fathers aren't in the home. They don't teach the boy right from wrong. They don't teach the boy discipline. They don't take the boy to church and attend church. They don't read the Bible. And they're doing drugs. And so a lot of the men that are living with women, it's not their children that's in the home. And a lot of them are supporting children that aren't theirs. And the fathers that are supposed to be supporting their children aren't doing it. There's so many of them in prison and on drugs. And it just passes it on down. And it gets worse and worse.
It just perpetuates the cycle.
As a native Springfieldian, I've seen it here. I mean, it was shocking to think that when I was born here back in the 1940s, that this society is what we've got in the Springfield Green County area and nationwide. And the family unit here has weakened. Our faith system, if you will, our Christian beliefs are being made fun of. And less people believe that God is an important part in their lives. Less and less people are doing Bible reading and trying to do right. And John, you're trying to do what's right.
Folks, I
think you've said before, you're a convicted felon. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you've been in the big house. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And so you're not ashamed of it, and you're witnessing to people because you know the way. You've been there.
Yeah, okay. I'm not proud of it, but I agree.
That's why you can talk about it and people listen to you.
All right, and folks, on the other side of the break, John's going to talk about it a little bit more. We want you to stick around. I'm Matt Canovey, sitting in for Nick Reed on KSGF 104.1 Springfield's News Talk FM. Folks, welcome back. I'm Matt Canovey, sitting in for Nick Reed. I've got John Stroop in the studio with me. I've also got Dee Wampler, and there was a little bit of time crunch with you guys. So, Dee, I wanted you to talk a little bit about the latest attack on our Second Amendment, this lawsuit filed against Remington. Go ahead.
Yeah, if it isn't one thing, it's another. The Sandy Hook families, there were nine of them. I think there were about 15 kids that were killed there a couple of years ago, claim that the Remington company is engaged in unfair trade practices. That is, they're engaged in what they call militaristic marketing because some of their ads say that if you have a weapon, you can defend yourself against anybody, and even a little person can defend himself against a big person.
Which is
true. If he has an AR-50. Yeah, which is true. So they're saying this is an unfair trade practice under Connecticut law. And they filed a lawsuit, some of these families, against the gun manufacturer. Well, we've had a number of statutes over the years that have protected the gun manufacturers. And, of course, there's a statute on it that specifically provides that you cannot sue gun manufacturers. It's called the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act. It's a 2004 federal statute. So you can't hold the gun manufacturers that sell guns liable for negligence because some third person, some criminal, decides to kill somebody. Well, what they're saying is that the way they advertised it, Remington, under Connecticut marketing laws, and every state has fair trade marketing laws. Missouri does. All the states do. They're saying that that's a loophole. Lawyers are always looking for loopholes, right? And so they filed this lawsuit, and Remington took it to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, well, we're not going to stop the lawsuit. We're going to let the lawsuit proceed. So now it's back in court, and they're going to go to trial. And Remington, of course, has got to pay a lot of money for lawyers and defend this. And if they win, they win. But even if they win the case, that this might open the door for future lawsuits, not only against Remington, but a lot of the other gun manufacturers in America, plus the gun dealers and sellers, okay, that can be sued. Now, if Remington loses, they'll go to the U.S. Supreme Court. In the meantime, they're spending millions of dollars on all this, and it probably we won't have an answer to a lot of this until 2 or 3 years from now, until the courts and the lawyers get tired of litigating all this. But it is a major, major bad thing involving an attack on your Second Amendment rights. I mean, that's where your Saturday program comes in. And this is a big case, and it's a big decision that was handed down just 2 days ago.
Well, and folks, there still might be some light at the end of the tunnel. Now, the Supreme Court did not say they approve or that they would not listen to the case if it finally came to them. They just said, we're going to let the lawsuit proceed. Now, this is an election. We're moving into an election year. Now, they may be pushing it off just to say, all right, we're going to let it go through its normal process. If Remington wins the lawsuit, it dies. It's done. We don't even have to get involved. If not, okay, then we'll deal with it. But by that time, it'll be after the election. Maybe we can deal with it then and not have any political ramifications. So there really might be some strategy behind this. I want you to think about that. We're going to pick it up on the other side of the break. I'm Matt Canovi, sitting in for Nick Reed on KSGF 104.1, Springfield's News Talk FM. Folks, welcome back. I'm Matt Canovi, sitting in for Nick Reed. And I've got John Stroop in the studio with me right now, and I've got Dee Wamper as well. And we've been talking about, among other things, the Mexican cartels and their invading of these United States with drugs, criminal enterprises, and their criminal organizations, which lead to the dramatic increase in drug violence that's being perpetrated through our society in the United States as well as worldwide. And Dee has also made mention about the attack on the Second Amendment that just came about and the media event that is really being called the impeachment, but it's nothing more than a media event. But before we get out of the second hour of today's show, I want to go ahead and give John Stroop a chance to talk about his latest book, because we need to get the wall built to stop the flow of drugs, or at least slow it down, reduce it. And then we need to work on getting these people that are on drugs off drugs. And one of the ways to do it is we cannot be enablers of these people on drugs. They've got to hit rock bottom. Go ahead and talk about that a little, John.
So I wrote a book from a phone call. I had a mom call me, and her daughter is a prostitute, and she trades her body for drugs. And the mom asked me, she said, I'm doing XYZ. She said, am I doing the right thing? And I said, yes, I'm proud of you. You're doing exactly what I would tell you to do. And she started crying, and she said, I can't let my daughter come home because I have her kids. But my body hurts every night because I know what she's doing to herself. I know she's being raped. I know she's selling her body. And she said, is there anything for us, for the families? And I didn't have anything. So I wrote this book from that phone call. It's called Stop Loving Your Kids to Death. And basically, the chapters are what you need to stop doing and start doing. And so there's lots of chapters, lots of different things you can do. But, you know, stop trying to be Jesus. Stop creating a false world that doesn't exist for them. Be an investor. Invest something they can't trade for drugs, right? And so there's these different things that parents can do. And then at the back of each chapter, there's review questions. You identify the problem. You move forward. You break the pattern. And so it's done really well. And I had a lady get off depression medication. She'd been on depression medication for 30 years. Her son was a 45-year-old drug addict. Chapter 4, she went to her doctor and got off of it. She said, I know it's not my fault now. You know, there's many people listening to the sound of my voice, and you've been parenting out of guilt for 20 years. And your son or daughter is not a little boy or girl. They're 35 years old. And you've created this false world that doesn't exist where, you know, you make a mess and someone cleans it up. You empty the refrigerator and all of a sudden you wake up and it's full of food. You don't, you know, you make a big mess in the kitchen, you know, cooking food, and you go to sleep and wake up and all of a sudden your mom, who is the maid, has cleaned that mess up. So what happens? This person has an entitlement mentality. They're like that person holding a sign up in on the side of the road that says, my mom enabled me, now I want you to do it. And so, yeah, that's the context of the book.
John, and people think I'm mean when I see that guy on the side of the road with the sign, help me. And I just remember what Scripture says, an able-bodied man works or he don't eat.
Yeah, I would definitely say, you know, if you want to help somebody holding the sign, carry some brown bags with a water or granola bar and a Bible track in it, or, you know, buy some cheap $5 gift cards for Subway. You can't get much for a $5 gift card from the dope man. You know, you got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove.
Yeah, I mean, folks, you're only perpetuating the problem. And speaking of that problem here locally, I've talked to law enforcement who, when prior to law enforcement enforcing that panhandling, the ordinance for panhandling, there were people coming from hundreds of miles around into Springfield because it was such an easy mark. They could stand on a corner, make hundreds of dollars a day in cash, go right out, use it for dope, next day do the same thing. We were enabling them and actually drawing them into our community. You have to understand the cycle and how it works before you can stop it. I want you to think about that. We're going to step into a break, pick it up on the other side. I'm Matt Canovey, sitting in for Nick Reed on KSGF 104.1, Springfield's News Talk FM.